That is when you are going on the road, trekking. You cross the road. A car bought with that money will jam you. The car will break, splinter to pieces. There will be no scratch on you. That's what Jesus meant when he said it's better to trek to heaven, to into life, than to drive a fat car into hellfire. That's what he meant. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, it's so important to understand. If that's all I preach today, let me know I preach something. Satan is trying to... Look, people say that when Adam sinned, he gave the dominion over to Satan. I heard that one too. When I started studying the word of faith, 86, 87. I heard it also. Then around 1994, 95, I was studying and I realized it's not possible. I realized it's not possible. Satan can't give what doesn't pay me. Adam couldn't have given to anything. Like, what is he the only person? Abel came after him. Cain came after him. Satan negotiated with both of them. Abel refused to sell his own. Cain sold. People came after. You think while walking by faith, Abraham lost dominion to Satan? No, he did not. He did not. Men who walk by faith always hold their dominion. Satan is always trying to negotiate with them. He went to the house of Job, tried all kinds of things. It didn't work. When he asked him, how far has your kingdom reached? Everywhere apart from Job's territory. Listen, Satan has to negotiate with each person to get the portion of life that belongs to that person from him. He has to. And it's, listen, he's very smart and he's unrelenting. He doesn't get tired. Once Jesus became of age, he went after him. That triple temptation, you know, turn stones to bread, fall down from here, bow down and worship me. That one was given a minimum of 2 times. The fellow is unrelenting. Pride of life, jump down from here, jump down from here. You know, then you think, you know, when after that, he now entered into power, he now became settled. Lie. A time came, men came and said, let's make him king. That was satanic temptation. When Satan used all of those types, it did not work. Finally, you know, there was a time he gathered Mary, the brothers and sisters, they called family meeting. It was Satan. You know, Satan knows how to call family meeting. Some people think that Mary, mother of Christ, never did anything wrong. She was there in the family meeting. Satan entered into her too. So you better be careful when you are praying. No? There's no human being Satan did not use at the particular. The only person Satan did not use was Jesus Christ. Once he entered into Mary herself, she came and said, go and call down my son out. They came and told him, your mother is looking for you. He understood it. What did they say? Who is my mother? See that woman over there that is listening to me and doing the work of God, that is my mother for today. The mother, when he heard that one, he rejected that. Said, Satan ran away. See, I warn all of you, don't be embarrassing me like this. I became a voice for Satan in my son's life after everything the angel told me. Now, that's not in the Bible. I just wrote that one to help you understand what I'm talking about. The Lord is good. He didn't stop tempting him. When that one didn't work, finally, the last one was Peter. Even Satan jumped inside Peter. You know, if you're a true Christian, your enemies are the smallest of your problems. Your real problems are your friends. Fellow ministers who want you to succeed. Your father, your mother who wants to build a house also. This is your career you are pursuing. You say it's the call of God. John Bull dedicated his twin duplex last week. That's it. Once they start like that, you'll do like this. I want peace. No, you need to peace. At that point, you need to go away. Since you cannot look your father in the face and say, get behind me, Satan. You may as well say to Satan, wait here. And they come. I'm telling you, what happened? I'm in distress. They won't know whether it's what you ate or what you are hearing. You need to get away. Peter did that with the Lord Jesus Christ too. And told him, kill you, okay? After we have left everything and followed you. We are now important men in ministry. You want to spoil this ministry? We won't let him do that. Do you know many preachers are afraid to preach the truth because the congregation is plenty? Yes? It's the same thing. A big woman minister, her husband is a big pastor, told my wife once, she was complaining about some shady movements that men in church were doing. Some of them deacons, head deacons, neck deacons, shoulder deacons. So my wife said to her simply, what did you deacon such people? Please, once in a while, I have to invent words to make my message clear. You deacon them? You call them to order? I said, no. They are the pillars of the church. Did you hear that? Human being, pillar of the church. Sinner. Now, I'm not talking about sinner. Say they count church money. It was supposed to be 5,000. It now became 4,005. No. These were adulterers. Adulterers. No. Not a man who was overtaking an offense. The type that Paul said, you should restore. No, these are people with hard hearts. That you need to commit to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. Peradventure, their spirits will be saved. Maybe they will repent. So they are pillars of the church. Because they don't want church to scatter. Church is not built on money. I hope you understand that. Please, listen to me. Church is not built on what? Money. It's not. It's not built on large congregation. It's not built on the amount of television stations you guys are on. It's built on only one thing, which is truth. 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 Any day as a preacher, you can't preach the truth. You are serving Satan. Oh, let me say it again. Once truth can no longer be preached by you for any reason, Satan worship don't begin. That's why I said to you, listen, Satan is unrelenting. You know when he wakes up in the morning? Because he also sleeps once in a while. So maybe he wakes up one morning. Anytime he thinks about me, that's Banky, is to strategize the temptations. Let me put it like this. And nobody, listen to this, nobody is immune to those temptations except by prayer and feeding on the word of God. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from participating in evil. It's a prayer point. He told Peter and Co, pray so that you do not fall into temptation. I pray Christians understand what prayer is. Prayer is not about enemies. Let me tell you how to identify a sinner. Any Christian you see staying up at night, say, tonight my enemies are dead. No, that fellow is a sinner. If he's a pastor, he's a head sinner. If you're a member of the congregation, you are participating in iniquity. I will tell you the truth. You know I don't have senior pastor over me. You get some kind of temptations, people like us, we not get. Nobody has ever given kingdom word money because of what I preached. So, just drop your offering and go. No negotiation on that. So, I like, oh God, I like my ministry. Amen. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. No, I can't tell you the truth. Sinners are always praying against other sinners at night. A real Christian, when he wants to pray, is praying about himself, herself, the face of God. Are you getting my point? He wants to decode the face of God. It's confused people that wake up every day trying to identify who are the people pursuing them. Olayinka sent me a joke a few days ago. It was very funny. A man has financial distress and all kinds of problems, so he went to the native doctor, to the diviner. and the vineyard did the divination and said, your boss is bewitching you. The guy said, it's okay, thank you, sir. The only problem is, I know they work right now, so which boss? I don't have a job right now. Which boss is bewitching me? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Oh, it's so important. Let me get back to my message. You know, I was just talking here and there. It's so important we understand that we are fighting for kingdoms. So. Satan is unrelenting, but we are more stubborn. We are more stubborn in our commitment to God. Amen? We are more stubborn in our prayer life. Amen? We are more stubborn in feeding on the word of God so that Satan will have no part in our lives. We are more stubborn. He's unrelenting. He's always running after people. Why is he unrelenting? The only way he can declare that this kingdom is mine is if you negotiated with him. Are you getting my point? So as to enter into that kingdom. This is the point I've been making. And this is the main thing I actually wanted to say. We'll still get there. We'll just keep learning. We'll still get there. So you see, Satan, through temptation, he begins to reign. His reign is called the reign of death. All the calamities in the world today, all you need to do is watch TV. It's terrible. People are saying, when would the Third World War start? It started long ago, I hope you know. If you go and read Samuel Huntington's book, you know, he talks about the clash of civilizations. The current one now, but I don't know which one, there are many of them. Fundamentalist Islam is fighting everybody else, and people are being killed every day. People travel on the road, there's disturbance. United States have problems with the economy. They don't like China, but they owe China more than anybody else. It's called death. And every day, I started this, let me just pick that and continue from there. People are fighting the reign of death. They are strategizing to have the reign of death come to an end. Once I was watching Bill Clinton on TV, and he was saying that he projected that by a particular period of time, science will have so advanced, men will routinely live beyond the age of 100, routinely, because of advancement of science. And when he said it, I laughed. You know why I laughed? I said, he's a lawyer and a former president. He should have come to ask those of us who are into that field. We'll have let you know that death is spiritual. Yeah, death is spiritual. Death is spiritual. As you are laboring and laboring to overcome the force of death, death comes with another angle. And just like Solomon said, to the making of books, there's no end. Why is it to the making of books, there's no end? Because to research, there's no end. Men keep on researching and researching and researching. Are you getting my point? Yeah, they keep researching and researching. But because this thing is a spiritual problem, that's what I'm saying. What Bill Clinton is saying will not happen. Now, but I quoted him to bring out an issue. So people are fighting all the time. That's the point I'm making. To overcome this reign of death. But let me say this to you. And I said at the beginning, God's solution to the whole problem is called Jesus Christ. What did I say? Thanks for the murmuring. What did I say? Thank you very much. Jesus is the solution to everything. I was reading a man, he said that any deliverance you find outside Jesus is only bondage. It's only bondage. There is no lasting deliverance you will ever find against the reign of death outside Christ. There's none. We're going to read the scripture. I hope we can get there today. That was the one I wanted to read last time, and we finished with that reading. That's Hebrews chapter 4. But I want to bring out an issue here. That's the concept of sacrifice. I want to start with, let me just please explain something about the concept of sacrifice. We'll look at it further next time. You know, I told you before, once I heard a man preaching. He was trying to preach, but he was not succeeding. Why did I say that? Because he was trying to encourage Christians to give money. And he made a statement that he gave out a Mercedes-Benz to God. And having given out a Mercedes-Benz to God, nobody can sacrifice anything against him. Because if you sacrifice a cow, how much is a cow? Now, let's value it. a big cow today in Nigeria, 120,000 naira, all right? So he was saying that 120,000 compared to his Mercedes Benz, okay, he had used it. So let's just pull down the value and say it was worth 5 million naira. Let's even say it's 1 million. So he was trying to say that if you give out a cow worth 120,000 naira, how can you afflict him that has given out a Benz of, at least, is a used one of, let's say, 1-2 million naira? That Satan cannot try him. And I felt like putting my hand on my head. And he said, you call yourself a preacher. Listen, if you like, give out an airplane. A man that sacrifices a rat will afflict you. Because airplane doesn't have blood. It's a trade of blood. It's not financial value. I pray you get what I'm saying. When he was speaking, I said, how can you talk like this? It's not about money. If you want to give money, please give. But please don't be deceived that it's money that you use to fight Satan concerning your life. It's not. What did I say? What did I say? It's not money. Let me summarize it. It's blood. Go and read Leviticus chapter 17. He said, the life of the flesh is in its blood. Therefore, I have given it to you to make an atonement for your souls. The life of the car is in the engine. And has not been given to you to make an atonement for your souls. That was why when God was commanding at the time, he said, listen, whether you are rich or poor, there's something you must bring. It's an offering. In that the Old Testament, it was a blood sacrifice. We're not going to the, you know, step-by-step academic discussion on it. But I want to understand something. When that man spoke that day, I was disappointed. I was. Because I said, you are not helping people to understand that we are talking about the power of life. It's blood. It's not money. Give out a whole sheep. A man who sacrifices a... You give out a whole sheep, you know? No sheep. Boat, you know? Both sheep. A man who sacrificed a real sheep. Meh. You know that kind of thing. A meh type. He has more power, spiritually speaking. Now, we're not talking about Christians now. We're just talking about the principle of sacrifice. He has more power, spiritually speaking, than you. Why? Because life is a tangible spiritual substance. Metal is not a tangible spiritual substance. This flesh itself is not a tangible spiritual substance. It was created by God so that real life could enter into it. I hope you are getting my point. That was why God first made the man, formed him out of clay. Then what did he now do? He now breathed into him the breath of life. You're getting on this, please. Life is a real spiritual substance. In the realm of the spirit, that's the currency they spend. Oh, I pray you get what I'm saying. In the realm of the spirit, it is a currency that they spend. Now, please, just hold that. We'll develop it next time, but just hold it. All right? Let me explain another principle. Disobedience, spiritually speaking, is debt. That is debt. You are paying. You know, like you are owing. D-E-B-T. Yeah, it's debt that you are owing. Let me say it again. In the realm of the spirit, disobedience is debt. You are owing. And I keep on telling you, that's why people will come. You know, very common in our country because we don't do insurance very well. A man will take his car that has no brake, and he knows he has no brake, and he starts managing it. Everybody say manage. Starts managing it. Like I always tell my wife, sorry, you are not managing. It's the car that is managing. you get what I'm saying? He is the one managing. You're not the one managing. It's the car that is managing. So he manages it, then he jams your car. Buzza. Why does he not have brake? He doesn't have money. He knew the brake was bad. He didn't have money to fix it. Then he jams your car, dents your car thoroughly. Then he comes out and says, hey, Josa, Biko, you know... Please, I beg. They have not paid us for 3 months. You know, in fact, my first son is supposed to go to school since last week. Now he hasn't gone because we have not been. I start telling you all the woes. My mother is in hospital as we're talking now. My mother is in hospital. Please, the summary of it is this. Who will pay for this? This damage that you have caused, this extra expenditure you have invented in my life, who will pay for it? He doesn't offer that. I don't want to go into that again. As a Christian, there are certain kinds of pleas you don't say. What's the kind of pleas you should say? Give me time, I will pay you all. Let the man not decide by himself that don't worry about paying the rest. Don't say, please, sir. What is please, sir? Please, sir means you go and look for money. Please, sir means you. The money you have planned to treat your own mother, come and use to fix your car. It means the money you are planning to use to send your own son to school, use to fix your car or drive it like that and be arguing with Federal Road Safety every day. Listen, that's how people behave who don't understand spiritual principles. In the realm of the spirit, every debt must be paid. No. It's called justice. You have to be just. Now, if the man that you are owing now decides to pay it himself, he didn't write off the debt, he paid it. I want you to understand something. He did not write off the debt. What did he do? He paid it because the thing you created has to be solved. Please, get that principle. Disobedience in the realm of the spirit is like that. Every time you sin, which is what disobedience is, you create a damage in the realm of the spirit. You dented something. Now, listen to this point. You made the transfer of angels from one realm to another impossible. You spoiled the road. Oh, God, I pray you get what I'm saying. It is not a moral thing. It is not like, God doesn't like you to, who did you kiss? Oh, Pari, God don't catch you. Sorry, I won't do it again. No, please, it's not like that. It is like you took a well-made road and you hacked it, broke it up, blew it up. The angels came to come and deliver goods they could not pass. Please, open your ears and hear me well. Sin is not somebody they vex. Sin is you have truncated, you have put an end to spiritual negotiation. Listen, I have thought about it when Daniel was praying and the angel could not pass for 21 days. Have you ever asked yourself why? They said, until Michael came. Let me ask you a question. Let me just ask you a question. Who sent the angel? Answer me like you are there. Who did? So he did not know that the prince of Persia was on the way. He was aware. I don't have time to explain it. Why could that angel not pass? The Bible talks about him that had the power of death, that is the devil. It is power. The wages of sin is what? Death. Sin gives power to the devil. The sins of the people had obstructed the heavens. The angel was coming there with an answer. There was no way. Why did it take God 21 days to send Michael? Because he must have, I don't know how they did the calculation, but that's precisely how long it took for the people to obtain mercy. When they obtained mercy, Michael was released, thereby ending the power of the prince of Persia. Sin is not just somebody they vex. It's God made the road. Go and read Isaiah chapter 40. God said, before I can bless you, I don't just say I'm God, I will bless you. You have to repair the road. Go and read Isaiah chapter 40. He said, bring down the mountains, elevate the valley, make sure there is an express road, then the glory of God will be revealed. Sin is a damaged car. It's a blown up road. It's a damaged house. It's spoiled provisions. That's what sin is. Just like I said earlier, there's no, I beg, sir, don't be angry there. There's nothing like that. Payment must be made. What did I say? Payment. Somebody must repair the road. And the only currency that they use in the realm of spirit is life. That's why God said to them, that Leviticus 17, he said, I have given you, he said, the life of the flesh, read verse 11, is in his blood. I have given that one to you to make an atonement for your sins. That is, things have been broken. Put them back into one. I have given that one to you to make an atonement for your sins. I'm bringing an issue here. The sin of Adam, the sin of Eve, the sin of Cain, the sin of all, including Abel himself, the sin of all those people, your own, my own, your father's own, my grandfather's own, Barack Obama's own, good luck, Jonathan, everybody, all their sins, it had wrecked the world. You know, have you ever bought a car from the United States? It's 15 years old. When it comes, looking sharp. No be so. Drive it for Nigeria for 2 years. All the aging, it did not age in 15 years. It ages in 15 months. Why? Thank God for Sullivan, who has given us heavenly roads. But those are the ones who used to live in hell on roads, you know. I think you drive your car from here. One day, Yenka and I went to preach at there. Was it Uli who went to preach? After that, we said, this car is not going on that road again. When we went, the car was smart. Then he came back, some things were falling in this place. Falling in this place. This is what sin has done. Spoiled all the roads and all the blessings that God sent to us as motor car. In heaven, they were running smoothly on good roads. Once they get down to the earth, they spoil. Conceive and have children now. Sin's in a lie. People not gather in church. In the name of Jesus. It won't be open. The man will come up for school, say, yeah, right now, stepping into prosperity. So he said, it's true. Prosperity is there. The road has been spoiled. Find work. Mm-hmm. Start business. One after the other. The one way you know one collapse, local government will help you collapse them. Please, you must understand something. Anything you see physically speaking, in the realm of the spirit, those things happen and they are tangible. What is sin? We have spoiled the road. That's what sin is. That's why Isaiah chapter 40, God said, you want blessing, repair the road. God, I don't have time. Quickly open it to you. No, I quote these things. You think that I imagine them. I quote this one and I stop. Hey. Let's just read that one then. We have to close. Isaiah chapter 40. You see something that he said there. Because of time, because I have to close quickly. Let me just start from verse 3. He said, a voice is calling. What's the voice saying? Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a what?
Highway.
Say it loud.
Highway.
A what?
Highway.
Are you seeing what I'm saying? A highway. A road to pass for our God. How do you make it? Let every valley be lifted. What that means, fill the pothole. That's what he's saying. The valley is the dugout area. You know, Nigerians should be the one to write this portion. We understand it very well. Fill the pothole. And every mountain and hill be made low. Those elevated areas in between the potholes, we smoothen everything. And let the rough ground, that is, by so doing, the rough ground becomes a plain. And the rugged terrain becomes a broad valley. What's the next line? Then, everybody say then.
Then.
The glory of God, he said, will be revealed. And all flesh will see it together. Listen to me. I said to you earlier, in the realm of the spirit, there's nothing like please sir. You spoil the car, it has to be fixed. You dig up the road, you have to repair it. It costs money. It costs money. The only thing that they transact in the realm of the spirit is life. When you added your sin with my own, with that of your grandfather and that of my great-grandfather, and that of Barack Obama and good Lord Jonathan, Osama bin Laden's own, we didn't forget it. You added everything together. Listen. The Bible says clearly, the redemption of the soul is very costly. God put everything together. It was impossible for anybody to pay. Any human being. The Bible said, therefore, his own arm brought salvation to him. The only person that could pay. Oh my God. Remember that man that was owing that Jesus Christ told the story? He looked at his servant and said, I forgive you the debt. And I told you, there's nothing like forgive. What does that mean? I will pay myself. The only person that could pay was God himself. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation to him, the Bible says. So he said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That is, God, the Word that was God, came down in human flesh so that he could pay for the sins that you committed and I committed. Listen to me. And he did it very well. What did I say? Let me quickly say this and I close with it. Your great-grandfather's sin has been paid for. You can't pay it again. I pray you get what I'm saying. You can't. I hear preachers all the time. If you want to give money for the retention of the sin of your ancestors, you know when we preachers want to collect money, our sin disappears from our head. It goes to our bum bum. I'm sorry. When we want to collect money, we can't conjure all kinds of nonsense. Money is, oh God, the love of money is the root of all bad preaching. When preachers, once we see money, now so they do like he goat, we see she goat. It's terrible. I told you before, the only thing that is used in the realm of the spirit to pay for this is what? Life. If you really wanted to pay, tell me to go and buy a goat. But no, we say we convert it to currency. Why? Because we're not preaching the truth. It's a fat lie. We are not telling the truth. I've heard it everywhere. Your ancestors sinned. Who will give 50,000 naira for the sin of his father? I just fold my Bible. I won't go peace. Listen, if you want to pay spiritual debt, the only thing you can use to pay it is life. That's the only thing. Cash does not do it. God gave them bulls and goats as a temporary measure. Even he said it. The blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. So why did they give it to them? So it's a sign of your faith or the redemption that I'm going to send later on. Let me summarize again for you today. Jesus paid it all. What did I say? What did I say? What did I say? He said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. Your father's own, your ancestor's own, everybody's own, my own, your own, my children's own. They want nothing because in the realm of the spirit, all these things are in one time. Oh God, I don't have time to go into that. There's nothing future and past in the realm of the spirit. All of them are seen at one moment. This is how God does. When God wants to look, this is past, this is future. He's standing in one spot. He's seen everything in one scan. Oh, I don't know what I'm saying. You know, where you won't go tomorrow, you think I'm going to go tomorrow. God is seeing the place. He's seeing you. He's seen everything. That's why it's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So, he said God cannot change the past. It's a lie. I've seen him change the past. He changes the past. You just don't know. He has changed many pasts in your life. You don't realize it. Hey, if I start now, I won't come up for here. But the reason why you are not dead is that he has changed your past. Because past is only important for the effect he has on the future. So once the future consequence is no longer there, the past never happened. You see, Americans sit down there. You know why I'm shooting everybody and dysfunctional is that I was abused as a child. Believe in Jesus Christ, you will know that you were not abused as a child. When you refuse to believe, you start telling me all kinds of lies about your past. This is the point. God has scanned the whole thing, packaged all the sins, and Jesus has paid for them. Let me say it again. You are free. What did I say? Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Rise to your feet like you believe it. Just say, Father, I thank you because I'm free. Just say it. Say, Lord, I thank you because I am free. Lord, I thank you because I am free. Lord, I thank you because I'm free. Everybody say after me, say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am free. In the name of Jesus Christ, I am free. Say it, all things have passed away. They have been made new by Christ Jesus. Say, God has washed away all my sins. He has paid all my debts. Say it to, he has paid all my debts. know, some people will die and their children will be paying their debts. It happens. It happens a lot. Their wife will pay. Their wives will pay. Their children will pay. People will just be paying. And like that, we sin also. Sometimes the elders, the fathers will sin. The children's teeth are set on edge. But in your case, it's not like that.
Amen.
Those who preach all these ancestral curses thing, they have a bit of truth in them. What they forget is the other part that Jesus actually paid. And say, therefore, say, the debt of my fathers,
the debt of my fathers,
they have been paid.
They have been paid.
Say, God himself paid.
He
came in the flesh of Jesus Christ
and gave his life to pay.
Say, therefore, I am free.
Therefore, I am free.
Do your hand like this. I'm not a slave anymore.
I'm not a slave anymore.
Say, put your hand on your head, please. Say, sickness is gone.
Sickness is gone.
From the top of my head,
to
the soles of my feet. Say, my future is bright.
My future is bright.
Because sin has been washed away. Now listen to this. You know, there are things you hear, you know, before you've forgotten what they meant. You didn't know what they mean. Later on, you start suddenly start understanding. I heard a man preach once on how to build the ladder for angels to move from heaven down to earth. I'm like, what is this man saying? Is this as I'm understanding it? That the ladders have been broken. That's why the angels can't come down. He was talking about when Jacob laid down, put his head on a rock. He woke at night. He dreamt that angels were going up and down on the ladder. And he said, this is the house of God. He did not know it. And he called the place Bethel. And the man said, I'm going to begin to teach on how to build that ladder. I said, my God, what is this man talking about? Do you know it's now I'm understanding it? Say it, the ladder of my angels.
The ladder of my angels.
The roads for the glory of God to pass through.
The roads for the glory of God to pass through.
They have been repaired.
They have been repaired.
Jesus has paid.
Jesus has paid.
Therefore, I speak to my blessing.
Therefore, I speak to my blessing.
Come.
Come.
The road is clear.
The road is clear.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, I speak to my angels.
I speak to my angels.
Come.
Come.
The prince of Persia has been defeated.
The prince of Persia has been defeated.
Say it, won't take you 21 days. You will get to me now.
Because in Christ Jesus,
all has been paid. Say, Father, I thank you for it. Listen to this. I speak to your week that is beginning tomorrow. That angels will fill it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you travel, you will be safe because the road is clear, spiritual road now, and the sins have been paid. Safety, therefore, is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Doors that have been closed because angels couldn't get there. I speak to you again today that the angels will get there and the doors will be open this coming week in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is well with you.
Amen.
Put up your right hand. I speak to that hand that the peace of God dwells there.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you have any troubles, put your hand on that place and say, peace be upon you. When you get home, put your hand on your troubled financial...